The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, we'll read verses 22 through 26. Jesus and his disciples came to Bethsaida. Some people brought a blind man to Jesus and begged him to touch and heal him. Taking the blind man's hand, Jesus led him out of the village. After spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on the man, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" The man looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees, only they're walking around." Then Jesus placed his hand on the man's eyes again. He looked with his eyes wide open. His sight was restored, and he could see everything clearly. Then Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't go into the village." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. How is your vision? Do you see clearly? What is your perception of the world around you? How clearly do you see those people who are walking around you? Do you see them at all? Do you see what Jesus sees? Scripture seems to suggest that those who looked at the same world Jesus was looking at saw things differently. When others saw a blind man standing before them, they saw a pawn in a religious or political debate about whose sin caused the suffering. Jesus saw a beloved child of God and an opportunity for the work of God to be done in the midst of the suffering. When others saw a multitude of hungry people, they saw an overdraft on a charge card. Jesus looked at the same hungry multitude and saw baskets full of leftovers being collected after everyone had had enough. When others saw a guilty woman's justified stoning, Jesus saw an opportunity for forgiveness and restoration to new life. When Jesus looked at tax collectors and others on the margin of his society, he saw more than those who looked at them through the eyes of judgment. He saw in them more than they saw in themselves or they ever imagined they could be. Jesus wanted to do more than restore physical sight. He wanted to restore spiritual vision. He wanted people to look at the world and see the promised kingdom of God in their midst. What do you see in this brief account of the miraculous healing of the blind man who was brought to Jesus by some people of Bethsaida? The narrative offers some interesting details which seem to bring added clarity to the picture. Let's focus. Focus on those details and perhaps they will give us clearer spiritual perception. Did you notice, for instance, when the man is brought to Jesus, Jesus didn't heal him on the spot. Instead, he took the man by the hand and led him out of the village. Were all of the treatment rooms in Bethsaida in use? Was Jesus dodging the attention of thrill seekers or avoiding criticism of religious establishment? Maybe. Or maybe there is more to it if we look at this story frame by frame and line by line. The Gospels depict Jesus unleashing miraculous healing power in a variety of ways. Sometimes he laid hands on those who needed healing. Sometimes he spoke words of healing. Sometimes he healed from a distance. Sometimes healing resulted from someone acting in obedient faith, following the instructions Jesus had given them. Once, even Jesus didn't quite know how, but he knew that the healing power had flowed through him. Here we see a description of the means by which Jesus restored sight to the blind man, spitting in his eyes and laying his hands on the man. It seems to combine a couple of treatment approaches Jesus used on other occasions. The difference is, it didn't seem to work this time. When Jesus had seemingly done his part to perform a miracle, he asked the blind man, "Do you see anything?" Again, imagine we're looking at a slow motion replay of this story, frame by frame. We see the man look up. We hear him say, "I see people." Stop the tape right there. hold it right there. Here's a guy who was blind, so blind that he needed assistance of his friends to bring him to Jesus. It would have been impossible for him to find his own way there safely, much less to identify Jesus among the other voices ringing within the shadows of his blindness. Now he says, "I see people." It's kind of hard to know the inflection with which he spoke those words, but coming from a blind man, the ruling on the field would be that Jesus had indeed restored yet another blind man's sight. But wait, if we continue to watch, more evidence is seen. He said they look like trees, only they're walking around. Now that really puts the play under further review, doesn't it? Is it enough to overturn the call on the field that the blind man can see? Is it enough to see people, even if they look more like things walking around, things that ought not be walking around? Some would say that that's good enough. Maybe after being unable to see anything, even the blind man was satisfied. We all know how confusing it can be when the ophthalmologist puts two screens up on an eye exam and asks us which one is better, one or two, one or two. Well, two is definitely better than one, so yeah, two. Are we satisfied? Are we satisfied with less than clear vision? Is fuzzy perception good enough? Not if additional clarity is possible. And not for Jesus in this situation. The story isn't over. Watch as Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again. He looked with his eyes wide open. His sight was restored. He could see everything clearly. The call on the field is confirmed. The blind man's sight had been miraculously restored. Jesus sometimes gives discharge orders to people whom he had healed. Go show yourselves to the priest. Go sin no more. Did you notice the last phrase of today's scripture reading? This time, Jesus' discharge order seems to be rather emphatic. Don't go into the village. After having already taken the man by the hand, leading him out of the village of Bethsaida before healing him, why did Jesus now tell him not to go back? Was it an attempt to keep this miraculous healing under the radar of opposition? Or did the village itself have something to do with it? Was Bethsaida somehow a threat to the man's spiritual clarity? Bethsaida, the town of fishing, or the town of nets. It was located near the Sea of Galilee and was a hub of fishing-based economy. This fishing village was the hometown of Peter, Andrew, and Philip. The Gospels tell us Bethsaida was the site of other miracles Jesus performed. Scripture also tells us that Bethsaida still rejected him. To be sure, Jesus had no souvenir Bethsaida patches on his backpack. In fact, Jesus posted a scathing review in Matthew chapter 11, and he was naming names. It went like this: "How terrible it will be for you, Bethsaida, for if the miracles done among you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have changed their hearts and lives and put on funeral clothes and ashes a long time ago." For our purposes today, might we interpret the supporting narrative of this miracle, as well as Jesus' words of condemnation of Bethsaida, as a warning of how spiritual clarity might be impacted or damaged? Could it be that Jesus knew looking at life through the lens of Bethsaida could blur one's perspective of the world? Could it be that the man's distorted vision of people was a reflection of the spiritual understanding and insight of Bethsaida, who, although they saw many miracles, still couldn't clearly see who Jesus was? Could the act of Jesus laying his hands on the man the second time be indicative of the second touch of grace that is needed to move beyond distorted perspective found in places like Bethsaida? Could that be why Jesus prohibited the man from returning to the village? May we also be warned, that achieving and maintaining our spiritual clarity can be jeopardized by places in which we find ourselves. Undoubtedly, Bethsaida was a bustling village for its day. It might well have been a paradigm for community development models, even in our day. Find an in-demand product. Develop a mechanism of supplying that product to those who need it. Keep biggering your operation and never stop biggering it. Busyness begins to overshadow spiritual perspective. Did you know that the Chinese pictograph for the word busy is composed of two characters, heart and killing? What are we doing to ourselves? What are we doing to our spiritual clarity? How about we subject ourselves to that Jesus vision exam? Do you see anything? Do you see people? When you see them, do you see them clearly? Or do they look like things? Things that ought not be walking around. Or if they are walking around, they ought not be walking around where we could see them. Are we satisfied with our spiritual vision? Are we willing to forsake a clear perspective of the world and people in it in the name of busyness or productivity? Gandhi said, "There is more to life than merely increasing its speed." Jesus would concur. Jesus would say, "Don't go there. Don't let spiritual blindness fall over you." Do you see anything? Maybe you see things that you can't explain, but do you see the presence and power of the Holy in them? Do you see two miracles but remain blind to the powerful heart and hand of God displayed in events and in creation all around you? Don't you wish you knew if this guy heeded Jesus' words? Surely he did. Don't you wonder what he saw? When he could see everything clearly, maybe he could see the compassionate face of Jesus standing before him, a face and a compassion he would never forget. Maybe he could see people clearly, people themselves walking around in their own darkness, blind to the presence and power of God. Maybe he could see glimpses of truth that God had for him. Let our prayer be now and always, open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Amen.